Good evening to all and a very warm welcome. This is Dan Kahn. I'm the National Field Coordinator for the Peace Alliance. And welcome all of you to April's monthly field call for the Peace Alliance. As usual, we have a very full agenda, and we're hoping you find some inspiration, some information, and some opportunities for action, both on a personal and on a political level. Let me review the agenda. And after that, we'll get into the heart of our call. After this agenda review, I'm going to introduce you to Ngozi Rashida-Akosua, who is our council lead for Cultivating Personal Peace Building on our Leadership Council. And Ngozi is going to introduce Wendy Silvers, who's our special guest for this evening. After Wendy's talk, you'll have a chance for some question and answer and discussion. And then we're going to have a very special mini social media workshop, about 10 minutes, presented by Allison Lianos, who is our social media council lead on our leadership council. And that's going to give you some tools for working with social media and some confidence, hopefully, and some empowerment. Then we're going to have an update from Nancy Merritt from the Department of Peacebuilding Committee, an update on the Department of Peacebuilding bill. And then we're going to get into some actions. We have a double action for this evening. So I want to encourage you, everybody who's on this call probably has received an action sheet via email sent by me about an hour ago. So sometime in the next 20 minutes or so, please, if you haven't already, check your email and download that action sheet. And you may also want to have your computer open and online access, because Allison's guidance is going to be very hands-on. You will get a chance to do some social media activism on the call tonight. So we're going to go through our Cultivating Personal Peace Building action, as well as our social media action, and then we'll have a chance for shares from the field. And we want to hear what's going on in your neck of the woods, in your world of peace building. What's news? What are your questions and issues? And then, of course, we'll have a closing quote. So that's the plan for tonight. I hope that's exciting and interesting to all of y'all. We're doing our best, as usual, to connect and provide you with skills and strength and solidarity to keep creating positive avenues for a more peaceful world together. So thanks for joining us. This is how we do it, together, on our own and together. So next, without further ado, I'd like to introduce Ngozi. And Ngozi is our Cultivating Personal Peace Building Council Lead. As you know, we have a new leadership structure which involves a robust council of members who are representing, among other things, the five cornerstones of peace building. And Ngozi has specifically chosen this month's special guest, Wendy Silvers. So I'm going to hand this over to Ngozi, who's been just a pleasure to work with. Ngozi has been a longtime Peace Alliance advocate and a real rock-steady member of our community in Southern California, and it's just been a joy to cooperate with her in the process of organizing for this call. So welcome, Ngozi. It's over to you.
Thank you so much, Dan. I really appreciate that. And I just want to say greetings to all of you on the call this evening. I'm looking forward to connecting with you and getting to know you. And I am honored to introduce to you today Wendy Silvers. She is a thought teacher, spiritual coaches, parenting educator, author, and sacred activist. She is the founder, director of the Million Mamas Movement, an organization devoted to the empowerment of mothers and ensuring that all children and the global family flourish. The Million Mamas Movement supports nonviolence, health and medical freedom, reproductive rights, racial and gender equality, human rights, and conscious parenting. On behalf of the Million Mamas Movement, Wendy travels to Sacramento frequently to be involved in legislative action. While a successful celebrity publicist creating high visibility for high-profile clients and projects, Wendy felt inspired to shift careers from making people and projects famous to being a change agent catalyst for mothers to embrace their immerse value, grow prosperous businesses, and raise confident children. Wendy also blogs for Huffington Post magazine and other online sites, and is a contributing author to the international bestseller Balance for Busy Moms. She is affiliated with the Agape International Spiritual Center and is a Agape licensed spiritual practitioner. Wendy, welcome to our show.
Hi, Ngozi. Thank you so much. I'm really honored to be with you and Dan and the community this evening. Thank you so much for inviting me.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So in terms of cultivating personal peace and peace building, one of the things that I have been actively engaged in is doing the inner work that allows one to be available, to be a place in a space of peace. It's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to embody it. And so part of the practice that I continue to cultivate on a daily basis is I have a very active and a very consistent meditation practice. I believe that it is... It's been my experience that when I am not centered and grounded, I'm out of my mind. And I'm usually reacting from the reptilian part of the brain, which is flight, fight, or freeze. And in my work, especially with other peace builders and sacred activists, and especially with parents, I came up with an acronym called FLOW. And it goes like this. S is for slow yourself down, get still, pause, turn within, find ways to soothe, to self-soothe. The L is for listen to what the person in front of you is saying, whether it's your child, your partner, your colleague, someone you're in conflict with, just listen. Listen to what they're saying and listen to what the voices in your head is saying. Because many times the voices in our heads are not our best friends. So we want to be mindful of where they're coming from. The O is to observe. Observe what's happening in your body, observe what's showing up in front of you, and open to the experience without judging it, bad, good, indifferent. Just be a non-judgment place. W is for wonder. Get curious. When you get curious, the reptilian brain calms down and it allows the high reasoning aspect of the neocortex, that part of the brain, to come online. So that's one of the tools that I offer as creating and cultivating personal peace and building that into your daily life. The other is to find the yes behind the no. Many times when people are in conflict with one another, it's because there's not that exchange of listening. So people are always on the defensive, trying to get their point across, which really doesn't allow us to hear what the other person is saying. And if somebody says no, it doesn't mean that it's not happening. It might mean not now. It might mean the person can't take it in. When I've said no to things, it means I have to take a step back. I mean, depending on what it is. There's a whole litany of reasons why a no might be uttered. Could be a boundary, It could be out of fear. In our world today, especially in the climate that we're living in, there's so much fear. And as we know, because those of us that are on the call and yourself and Gozi and Dan, I mean, there is such a proliferation of fear. And fear causes people to really react rather than respond, which is why the acronym SLOW is so potent. And it's simple. In the middle of the day, in the middle of a conversation, whether it's with a little child or whether it's with an adult, sometimes what really helps is to also see the seven-year-old in the adult that one is having a conflict with, and to be open to employing skills, strategies that allow a person to feel felt, empathy. Marshall Rosenberg, with his nonviolent communication, is really profound work because it allows us to come from a place of empathy. It allows us to engage, seeing from the other point of view. So many times what I have seen happen when there's conflict is that people are so engaged and so committed and attached to their point of view, myself included. I've seen when I get really attached to my perspective, but it doesn't allow for an exchange between two people when one person is always feeling like they're right. So it's important, and it's an invitation for us to remain open. That's why the acronym is so help. I find that acronym really helpful as I'm moving through my day, to really pause when I feel disturbed or agitated, and allow myself to center. Looking at the headlines, and I have a teenager, and so my teenager was asking about World War III, when I heard her say that, it was just yesterday, I had to pause. I had to just take a moment. And as we, have been trained in universal principles and the application of them in everyday life, and Gozi, I really lean into my spiritual practice, because I know that if I engage at the level of reaction, there's not going to be solution. I just got done reading a book called The Long Way Gone. And it was written by a child soldier in Sierra Leone. And toward the end of the book, very, very near toward the end of the book, he writes that when there's killing, there's revenge, and then there's more revenge, and then there's more. And he literally wrote, there's revenge, then there's revenge, then there's revenge, then there's revenge. And so Gandhi said it so many years ago, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth leaves a man blind and toothless, man, woman, blind and toothless. And so here we are in 2017, where we're posed with a lot in our world that is seemingly very conflictual. And I like to perceive it as the structures that are not sustainable are crumbling, but they're going out with a bang. They're not just going out with a whimper. And that is why to cultivate personal peace building means that I have to do my own inner work. I have to be 100% responsible for the quality of my relationships. How I show up in relationship is up to me. I have no control over another person. I mean, I know I've certainly in my lifetime attempted to control other people and other things, and we've all learned it's an illusion. So the only thing that I know to go back to is that I'm 100% responsible. And if I'm not centered and grounded and steeped in what I know to be true, then I am going to, as Einstein also said, I'm going to attempt to solve a problem at the level of the problem that created the problem. And so outside of myself, I see a lot of this. I see a lot of trying to contend with what's happening with the same energy, and I know that that is not what will shift it. We have information which leads to transformation, and I heard Dan talk about inspiration. Inspiration is going inside. It's going into that place that isn't based on the past and isn't based on the future. It's in this present moment. When I turn within, I can touch that place of wisdom within me and then bring it forward. And it's usually something that I haven't, quote unquote, thought of with my mind. What I do keep in mind, though, is something called unmet needs. It's what I learned as I was moving through my journey of the many different modalities that I've learned, but in terms of nonviolent parenting and education, is looking for the unmet need. Everybody, child and adult, at every moment of the day is doing the very, very best they can to get their needs met. They're not doing anything necessarily to a person. They're just trying to get their needs met. And so much of the collision of instincts that I see in the outer world emanates from unmet needs. How do we find out what somebody's unmet needs are? If we're cultivating peace building, what are the needs of the person standing in front of us? What are the needs of the people that want to fight? What are their needs? So for me, it is really about practicing slow. It is about looking for the unmet need, looking for the yes behind the no, and really taking 100% responsibility for myself and what I say. Do my words and my actions match? That, to me, is what integrity is. When my words and my actions match. And as I've moved through this path of what I call sacred activism, which I first heard Andrew Harvey talk about, and it's about bringing the sacred into every activity of my day, and to bring that level of inspiration and inspired action to activism so that I can show up 100% responsible for my part, but I show up in a different way. I can take action. I can make sure that I'm coming from solid ground and I'm not just flying off the handle, because when there are issues that are so close to my heart, I know that I could fly off the handle, but I know that won't be effective. I won't be a change agent. I won't be a catalyst for change if I am standing there out of my mind. So bringing the sacred into activism, remembering what is the bigger picture, how may I be of service here, what is mine to do. So those are some of the tools that I employ in my day-to-day life and in my work as a sacred activist.
Thank you so much, Wendy. That's really a powerful offering. This is Dan again. I hear echoes of so much of what we've practiced and learned as an organization, I think, as a movement. I imagine lots of people on the call can really relate to what you've shared. And in a moment, I'm going to invite folks to raise any questions that you want to share. You can ask a question by pressing 1 on your keypad, and that'll put your hand up. So if you already have a question, go ahead and press 1. And meanwhile, I'm going to share with Wendy, in case you haven't noticed from our website or from our other material, we've sort of divided the world of peace building or mapped out the world of peace building into what we call the 5 cornerstones, which include cultivating personal peace building and teaching peace in schools, empowering community peace building, humanizing justice systems, and fostering international peace building. So the tools that you describe in terms of bringing empathy into your communications and taking 100% responsibility, all of what you describe really can apply to people in our field in their work in advocacy, in working mm-hmm. in neighborhoods, with their families. So if anyone wants to sort of drill down and get a little more into certain the weeds, as it were, something that may have come up for you in talking with members of Congress, like how do you do this if you're triggered or
yeah.
if you're nervous, people may be kind of hanging back and sort of wondering how this applies, you know, how to connect with it, because people have different levels of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But
sure.
Yeah. Do you have any insight particularly about because a lot of folks, I think, have this undercurrent of fear, and I
yeah.
you know, have it sometimes myself when there are
mm-hmm.
countries threatening nuclear strikes. That's talking
yeah.
about our lives. So how do we face that kind of fear, and then find the space to be slow and to talk with a congressional aide or to talk with anyone who's in a policy position to really hear them? Can you give us a little more insight around that?
Absolutely. Those are great, powerful questions. And yes, I am on your, I have been on your site, and I love what you're doing, and think that it's really powerful to really equip people to move through this process in the different structures. So thank you for mentioning that. And in terms of the fear, I believe it's really important to talk to it, to really just pause. I mean, that's why for me, the acronym SLOW came up, because it's about pausing. So when we get activated into that that fear, which of course I relate and understand, it's about self-soothing. It's about really saying, what does this mean? What can I do in this moment? And so it is a really settling down. If you have to put your hand on your heart, it's about breathing in the moment and then seeing what's the next indicated action. What is the next indicated action that one can take? It's really important, find your rep.gov, to know who your representatives are. Who are they? Where are they? When are they in their district offices? Not everybody can go up to, depending on where you live, to the Capitol and go to the Capitol and meet their representatives. But there are district offices. You call and you get familiar with what they're working on. You go to their website. You see the bills that they're doing. And you ask to have a meeting, and then you go in, and sometimes you actually will meet with the representative, and then sometimes you'll meet with the chief of staff, depending on what it is, and you talk to them. You let them know, I'm really concerned about XYZ, or what is so-and-so doing about this, and do you know about that? And one thing that's really important to know is that it's usually the chief of staff and the office staff. They give the representative usually a one page with just a paragraph or two about each particular bill or issue. So when you're going in to speak with a representative, make sure you have bullet points. Make it concise, make it short, make it clear, and stay in contact with them. Don't just go once. Call them. Get to know who the chief of staff is. I know when I was, I'm very involved with the health freedom movement, among other movements, and that involves the removal of parental choice and rights regarding forced vaccines. And so what is really important is to know the information and know that the elected officials do not always get the information. I was talking to Holly Mitchell at an event just a week and a half ago, and I was talking to her about, is it okay for me to mention a bill on this line? Or is that not
sure.
allowed?
Yeah,
okay.
That's fine. Of course, that's fine.
Okay. Okay, so there is, in California, there is a bill called the Children's Bill of Rights. So I was talking to Holly, and I've met her, you know, a number of times before, and I said, well, you know, there's a lot of moms and parents that are very concerned about SB 18. And she looked at me and she said, which one is that? I don't know which one that is. So it's good to know what the name of the bill is or the measure. Go to, you know, go to city council, go to the school board, go to meet your representatives. Let them know who you are. Even if you don't agree with the way that they vote, it's really important that they know that you're watching them. Because the piece that's really important is that we elect them. And what happens, and what I learned along the way, is that people forget this. They forget that they are the ones that got these people in office, and they just think that they don't have a voice. And I'm here to tell you, you have a voice. Make it known through email, through faxing, through calling, through showing up at events. The more you show up, you get to know them. Sure. Some you may like more than others, but you'll get to know them. And then in terms of the fear, I was hosting meetings every week for almost a year, and I'm probably going to start doing it again, but gather with other people that can support you and uplift you. It's a really powerful way to move through the fear.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. You're singing our tune. You're perfectly, I think, aligned with our movement. There are, I'm sure, folks on the call for whom a lot of this is new, and it's great for them to hear this sort of step by step as you're describing it. And I just want to underline everything you've said. Yes, cultivate those relationships. And there are other folks on this call who have been champions in what you're describing, who have built those friendships, those connections of mutual understanding, and who have actually helped politicians who started off, you know, on arguably the other side of the political spectrum to really move and understand how we have common ground, and to help them to join forces with us even. So if this is right up our alley. As sort of a segue, our next presenter is going to be our social media lead, Allison Lianos, and we're going to be talking about bringing that peace into the social media world. You know, and of course we can get triggered by things we read on Facebook or Twitter, but you talked about just putting your hand on your heart and taking a breath and connecting, and that's a little later in the call, we're actually going to practice that. Ngozi is going to lead folks in a meditation, and then we're going to invite folks to do some social media activism actually on the call tonight and or to get with them into their week. So do you want to say a few words just about social media before we bid you good evening
for
now? Sure.
Yes, I love social media. I love social media, and it's very impactful, and it's good to be strategic about the social media. The other thing that I want to say in terms of cultivating personal peace is don't go down the drain also of social media. You know, from what I understand, and Allison's probably an expert on this, but there are specific times that are better than others to post. Instagram is such a huge platform. And Twitter is great because you can do like 20 to 30 tweets to different people in like 5 minutes if you're trying to get people's attention and really develop a relationship. So much of this is really about relationship. And there can be a false sense of intimacy because you don't really know the people. But it's good to do it anyway to establish relationship. I believe that relationship matters more than anything. And we're talking really about relationship with ourselves, with the inner wisdom, and then with those, you know, in the legislative body, and then those in our community, right? It's about relationship and relationship with a higher power, whatever we call it. But it's also really important to be strategic and to make sure that you do unplug. Like when you talked about the fear, what I learned and what I continually learn is that media is not transparent and media is corporatized to a great extent. And so it's important to suss out those media sources that are really bringing truth and know that they will be demonized. The ones that are speaking out will a lot of times be demonized by what I call MSM, mainstream media. So you want to pick and choose your media sources and definitely use social media, graphics and you know, things that really illustrate what you're saying are really potent. I mean, if you think about Arab Spring, that wouldn't have happened without, at that time, Facebook, where we got to see it live and in color. So social media is a great tool for carrying a message and for establishing a platform and for establishing relationships. It can also be a huge time drain. So bring mindfulness to your social media.
Perfect. That's great. If you're welcome to stay on the rest of the call as much as you want to, but I understand if you need to go. I'm going to invite Ngozi, of course, to have sort of the last word in saying goodbye and thank you to you. So I'll open up her mic, and for my part, I really appreciate your time with us. Thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, Ngozi, thanks.
Your mic is open. Mm-hmm. Ngozi? You might have muted your own phone, Ngozi, as your phone.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I had me on mute.
No problem.
Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you so much, Wendy. Really appreciate you. Appreciate you taking the time. Appreciate the strategies and skills that you left us with. And thank you.
My pleasure. It's my joy to really empower and to share and to join with other people that are doing this work. And, you know, one of the reasons that I have been focusing on moms and parents is because they're the ones that have one of the most important jobs that exists, and that's growing healthy, conscious children. And so many adults are still reeling from the imprint of their childhood. So I'm very honored to have the opportunity to dialogue with you and Dan. And if anybody wants to reach me, they can find me on Facebook, or they can email me, wendy@millionmamas, M-A-M-A-S, movement.org. And I look forward to connecting with you all again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Great. All right, so we will hear more from Ngozi in a little bit, but for now I want to introduce Allison Lianos, who is our social media lead on our Leadership Council and is going to talk with us more about social media. So get ready to roll up your sleeves and learn some practical stuff. Allison, you're on.
Hi, everybody. I want to spend some time on our call talking about ways to connect with your congressman on social media. So, you know, in previous calls and on this call, Wendy was explaining, you know, going to district offices, calling, emailing, faxing, and social media is very complementary to everything else that you're doing to connect with your congressman. I will say that it shouldn't be the only way that you connect with them. Use this as part of the formula that you've developed. So whether that is, you know, weekly calls or weekly in-person meetings or monthly meetings, just add this as like a little sprinkle to that formula that you're already using. So, you know, I just want to say that there's a reason your congressman uses social media. You know, it's to stay connected with his or her constituents, which are all of us. And with social media, the door to communication is always open, which is, you know, the internet never sleeps. So this is another great reason why we should be leveraging this. So we're only going to be specifically discussing Facebook and Twitter today, because those are the primary social media channels in which that you can connect with your congressman. So there are a couple ways to leverage Facebook in connecting with your congressman. When you visit their Facebook page, hopefully you've already liked them, liked their Facebook page as a follower. But you'll notice when you visit their page, there's a button on the right-hand side where you could actually send them a message. There are instances where maybe the congressman has decided to not make this available to their constituents. That would be surprising to me, but if you do visit your congressman's Facebook page, there will be a little gray button. It's about the rectangle size, And you can send them a private message, letting them know that you support something or you don't support something, ask a question. Whoever is managing their Facebook page is likely someone who's on their communications team and should get back to you within a few business days. If you don't hear back, it's okay to follow up. You could also post a public comment on your congressman's Facebook page, which is very simple to do, and hopefully they also have this activated for their constituents. There is a feature in Facebook that allows pages to not make this possible, but I would be very surprised if there's any member of Congress that didn't make this possible. But you would just simply visit the main feed of their Facebook page, and there should be a box that says, write something on this page, and there you go. You can write a message to your congressman. It will be viewed publicly, so don't be surprised if people start to like or comment on your post. And we'll cover in a little bit what to do if a troll takes notice of your comment and wants to engage in some fierce dialogue with you. One of the drawbacks of social media is there are a lot of trolls out there. So we'll move over to Twitter. So if you use Twitter, great. If you don't, that's okay. But if you do use Twitter and you are following your congressman, you would simply visit their Twitter page. And for, I would say, a majority of members of Congress, if you go to their website, there should be some social media buttons that are visible on the homepage. Usually they're in the header area or the footer area. And if you click on those will connect you directly to where their social media presences are so that you don't have to go and search yourself. They make it pretty easy for you. So if you are visiting your congressman's Twitter page, you'll see their most recent tweets. You'll see some photos or video that they've posted. But on the far right next to their follow button, there's going to be three little dots that are stacked on top of each other. So if you just click on that, there'll be an option there that says tweet to whatever their Twitter handle is. So, for example, I'm currently on the Kamala Harris Twitter page. I'm in California. And you can't see my screen right now, but when I click on the three little buttons, the first option I see is says tweet to Kamala Harris. So if I click on that, it opens up a Twitter box for me, and I could just tweet her directly. You know, letting her know if I support something that she's done or if I want to give her like a thumbs up on something that she's recently done or maybe say I don't support something that she's done. And you just want to let you know that this will be public. It's not a private message, but whoever is managing her Twitter page, probably someone on a communications team will see this and hopefully respond back. If not, do not be alarmed if you don't hear back. Obviously, members of Congress get inundated with messages all the time, but at least you've raised your voice, and whoever is on their communications team is reading these messages. They may not have the bandwidth to respond to each one, so just don't be alarmed or discouraged if you don't hear back. So here are some best practices. In your Facebook and Twitter profile, always indicate the city and state in which you live. Your congressman needs to identify that you're their constituent. So if you have on your profile a blank space where it says location, go ahead and fill that in with the information where you live. So for example, I would put Los Angeles, California. So if I wanted to connect with Kamala Harris or a governor, they could actually see that I'm their constituent. So their ears will perk up when they see a message from me versus if I left that blank, then my message to them is not very important because they don't know if I'm their constituent or not. Make your message empathetic and peaceful. You know, in a little bit, we're going to be talking about like meditation and finding your center. So if something is really ruffling your feathers and you're upset, always remember to pause and think about what it is that you want to say and just be the most empathetic and peaceful that you can. And make sure that your profile photo is a photo of yourself. Otherwise, you may come off as a troll. So If you don't have a profile, if you don't have a profile photo, go ahead and find a photo that you like, that maybe was taken of you at an event or a family function. If your profile photo is a landscape, I've seen a lot of people do that. I would suggest switching that out for a profile of yourself, so that people can see that this is actually a human and not a troll. And similar to leaving a congressman a voicemail, be polite and brief. Fortunately, with Twitter, it forces you to be brief because you have a maximum of 120 characters. On Facebook, however, definitely just be as brief as possible and straight and to the point. And be clear about what you're asking your congressman to do, support or don't support a particular bill or policy, or if you just want to message them to give them a thumbs up and let them know that you think that they're doing a great job. I'm sure it really makes them feel good to hear messages like that. And be persistent. It's okay to message and tweet your congressman more than once. You know, similar to, you know, leaving a voicemail or visiting them, like don't stop at just one tweet or one Facebook message. It's okay to do it on more than one occasion. If you want to set a reminder to yourself to do it every Tuesday or every Thursday, that works too. I'm the type of person that thrives on email reminders. So if you're a person like that, go for it. Here's some of the things to expect. So you may not receive a response back, but don't worry that your message has been received. If your message is public, you can attract trolls and those that don't agree with your views. But if you do, just simply do not engage and just move on. The purpose of trolls is to initiate fights on social media, and you don't want to be doing that. You don't want to be fighting publicly on social media with a troll. It's not worth it. So my recommendation is to just ignore it and move on. If you do happen to meet other people that support what you're doing, that's great. You've just met some new friends. Similarly to how Wendy was just describing, you know, what's so great about social media is, you know, meeting new people and finding common ground and connecting with people that believe in the same things that you believe in. So another great reason to connect with your congressman is you could possibly be meeting some new friends along the way. So that's my mini workshop for the moment. But if you have any questions, Dan, I'm sure, what is it, they press one on their phone?
Yes, exactly. If you have questions for Allison, yeah, if you have questions for Allison right now, you can go ahead and press one. I see a couple of questions, a couple of hands going up. Great. And one of the first hand I saw is actually our special guest, Wendy. So let's see what Wendy has in mind. Go ahead, Wendy.
I just wanted to say thank you, Allison, for talking about trolls. Also, I wanted to ask you what your social media handle is, because I would like to follow you, and then I can share mine.
Oh, okay. Well, believe it or not, I'm actually not on Facebook. I actually only use it for the purpose of managing the Peace Alliance page and the page I manage for a nonprofit that I currently work at, but there's literally nothing on it. I don't post on it or anything. But
okay.
You can connect with me. You can connect with me on Twitter.
Okay.
My Twitter handle is it's Allison, so A-L-L-I-S-O-N, and then another N, and tweets. So Allison tweets, and then there's two N's in there.
Awesome. Okay, great. I'll friend you, and you'll see. I'm Wendy Silvers. Okay, thank you so much.
Okay,
love
great.
What you shared.
Oh, thank you. And full disclosure, my full-time job keeps me very busy, so I'm actually terrible at staying up to date on my own personal social media. So I'm sorry if I don't get back to you right away or anyone that tweets me, but yeah, I'm just so bad at managing my own social media because I do social media for all these organizations. I'm like, oh, wait, it's 10 p.m. and I haven't even tweeted on my own. So,
Okay. Well, thank you for that. Thanks a lot for what
you
shared. Bye.
Yeah, you're welcome. Bye. Yeah.
Thanks, Wendy. And I see another hand up. It's Deborah Poss. Go ahead, Deborah.
Hi, Hi, yes. Allison, you're using the term troll, and you also use the term of like people we don't agree with. And of course, somebody we don't agree with is not always a troll. Sometimes engaging with them can be good, as long as we do it, you know, honor, you know, what they have to write and everything. As far as somebody who's trolling, they may not realize it. They may just feel strongly about it. I have a little story, and I don't know if this person was or not, but I had posted something. It was, and it was from a source that I guess was not considered credible. And somebody came on and just kept writing all this kind of stuff, you know. And it wasn't, I guess you might call it trolling. Finally, you know, and I just kept answering and answering and answering. Finally, I web searched and I found a more credible, I found the same story from a more credible source. I took everything down from that one, all of the comments and everything, and I put the other one from the more credible source up. And then I sent that person a message, and I thanked him so much for calling that to my attention so I could put it up from a more credible source. And I didn't hear back from him. Then there was another one that somebody said it was negative or something. And I just said, do you know what that feels like? And I wrote, now do you have any idea what that feels like? And I never heard anything back from that person either. So I'm saying there are some ways maybe to engage, to call people's attention. I don't know who is a troll or who is not. But if something is negative, somebody may feel strongly about something and they may write something negative, just kind of pause and ask them, you know, would you, or this is another one I wrote, would you say that to me if you were looking me in the face? So just kind of bringing people, engaging people, and I don't, you know, maybe not considering them to be trolls, but just, you know, if it's coming from a place that feels more negative, sort of put a positive issue on there, or kind of like bring the person face to face with you, or something like that. But anyway, that's what I do.
No, I thought that was a great story. It's probably my fault for being not clear, but I think that if someone doesn't agree with you, it doesn't immediately make them a troll. There's going to be people that disagree with all of us at any given time, but you will be able to tell who is a troll and who isn't, because usually trolls have no profile photo, their name is a little vague. Often their spelling is off, or they use strong language or a lot of exclamation points. So if someone posts, like in response to something that you've posted and they don't fully agree with you, or maybe they want you to elaborate more, I think that's fine. I think that's totally healthy to engage in dialogue, and see other people's perspective. But if you do get a comment that is a little kind of alarming, you know, click on their profile and take a look at what their profile looks like, because most often the DNA of a troll is pretty much they follow a bunch of people, have very little followers of their own, don't really have a profile photo, don't really have any information filled out. And their spelling is not very correct, and they tend to use extreme language, like extreme, you know, vocabularies with exclamation points, and don't fully make sense all the time. So I would just, if you see that, if you don't know, okay, this person doesn't agree with me, but I don't know if this person is just a regular human being or if this person is a troll, go ahead and just click on their profile and just take a look around. And then you can decide for yourself using your best judgment, like, do I want to engage with this person? Do I not want to engage with this person? So does that make sense?
Yeah, well, I don't understand. A troll is not a human being. Is a troll a robot?
No, it's called the Well, I guess I don't mean like a human being, like the person wasn't birthed from a mother, but it is a human being. It's a human being, but they spend a lot of their time and energy scrolling social media, trying to pick fights with people. So I guess it's not your standard social media profile like yours or mine or, you know, my sister's or my coworkers. It's a social media profile specifically for the purpose of picking fights. And they leave themselves a bit anonymous so that they could not, you know, reveal what their true identity is, I guess.
I guess one thing is that sounds like a perfect situation for peace building if you know what you're doing and you have a good feeling about it and you know when to stop. But that's what I would say. I understand that, but it does sound like if in the right situation could be a good chance for peace building. That's just my little, if it's the right situation, but you have to use your own inner connectedness and inner wisdom to know if it's the right situation for you to engage in peace building. That's what I would say.
I love this conversation. Thank you, Deborah. I'm butting in a little bit just to try to manage our time, but I really appreciate this conversation so far. I think it's a sort of a perfect thing for us to have emerge as who we are, the Peace Alliance community, and looking at social media. So it's a great question, great discussion. I wonder if we can shift gears a little bit. Is that okay with both of you guys? Allison and Deborah?
Hello?
Fine with me?
Yeah, thanks. I don't want to cut you off, but I also want to respect everybody's time. Can we go ahead and shift into the action portion of our time? And we're going to get back with Allison in about a minute and a half. Okay? Thanks, Allison, for that so far. So what we're going to do now, and if you want to, everybody on the call, if you want to refer to your action sheet, which you don't have to. It's going to be pretty self-explanatory what's going to happen. But if you have it in front of you, the email that was sent to you about an hour ago, it could be handy. So what we're going to do is you're going to have a chance to do some personal centering. You're going to have a guided meditation, thanks care of Ngozi. And then we're going to go back to Allison and look at, from that centered place perhaps, what might be some direct social media actions that you could take. So let's go ahead back to Ngozi. Ngozi, it's back to you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dan. So what we're going to do is, we're going to do a body scan type of visual meditation. So it just allows for us to be very present in our body. So get comfortable where you are. Allow yourself to get comfortable in your thoughts, just releasing everything that has happened up until this point. And if you notice any sensations in your body, just allow yourself to soften and relax. And if it persists, then what I'm going to ask you to do while we're practicing with the inhale piece, just visualize inhaling peace and visualize sending peace to that area, that thought, or wherever the resistance is. And on the exhale, release it, release any resistance to peace. So what we're going to do is we're going to take three deep breaths, and on each inhale, just think to yourself, I'm inhaling peace. On each exhale, think I'm releasing any resistance to peace. So however your language is for you, and we will begin now. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale, inhale, exhale, And as you are moving into the center of your being, allowing each breath to flow with ease and grace, releasing any resistance, any thoughts, any ideas, any discomfort in your body, just allowing yourself to become very soft and relaxed, allowing your mind to drift into a beautiful place, into a forest, a beautiful green forest, and there's a path. Surrounded on both sides by trees, very tall, old trees with really big stumps. And just imagine walking at your own pace, enjoying the beauty of the sun breaking through the trees, catching a glimpse of the beautiful sun. That warms your body. Just allowing yourself to feel so curious and in wonder of the delights that are waiting in the forest for you to discover. And find a spot you might want to sit and enjoy for a few moments, this centering opportunity as you continue to visualize this beautiful forest that you're in and the birds that are singing and the animals that are running around and the crackling of the bushes and the trees and the debris or foliage on the ground. And just allow yourself to inhale peace consciously. And exhale any resistance to peace. Now standing up and continuing your journey as you begin to come into a full presence of being in your body, allowing your body to just express its gratitude for this moment of guided meditation, of relaxation, of release, of peace as you come back fully into awareness right now where you are. And when you're ready, if your eyes are closed, open them. If they're open, allow yourself to blink and refocus to this now moment. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Ngozi. All right. So can we still take action? I think we can. I guess that's the question. What does action look like from this place of deeply centered peacefulness? I need to acknowledge that I have, there was so much riches in the earlier parts of the call that I've let our time get a little bit out of my hands. And I want to ask you, invite you all to indulge me in staying with us for about another 7 minutes. We're at the top of the hour now, but I still would love to hear an update on the Department of Peacebuilding bill from Nancy Merritt, and then go back into the social media action from Allison. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm just going to autocratically make that call. And I hope that's okay with y'all. And Nancy, I hope you're ready to give us a brief update, and then we'll go back to Allison. And then after we take action with Allison, I'll stay on the line as long as folks want to share. If people want to stay on the line and hear from each other about news from around the country, I'll keep the line open, you know, not as long, but probably as long as anybody would want to. Nancy, are you ready and willing and able to give us a little update?
Yes, I am. It's going to be hard to do a speedy update after that really nice meditation. I'll just give you all sort of the high points of we have a, as you all, most of you know, we have a Department of Peacebuilding bill in Congress right now. It was introduced in February by Congresswoman Barbara Lee and from California. A lot of people on our Department of Peacebuilding Committee and in the Department of Peacebuilding campaign helped with the rewrite and helped get the bill where it is today, which is at 29 current co-sponsors, which is actually pretty good, a pretty good pace for, you know, comparing it to other years. So we came out pretty strong with 27 original co-sponsors. We're in what we're calling phase two of trying to get additional co-sponsors on the bill, and that we're kind of melding into Mother's Day, Peace Wants a Piece of the Pie, making that part of our action. So our phase two will go kind of till the end of May, and We have a set group of people we're working on, but we also always welcome anybody who wants to lobby or advocate with their members of Congress through all the ways that have been discussed on this call so far. And usually it takes quite a number of communications, but persistence, I think, is the word that came up a few times. So we would love to have any of you, especially if you're a constituent, contact your people, your congressperson. And if you're doing that, please let me know. You can email me at nancy@peacealliance.org. We're doing some other things that I'll talk about maybe in another call, just trying to get organizations on board. The California group is going to the California Democratic Party convention in about a month and lobbying, and we have a resolution in front of that group. Several of us, including Dan, I think, are going to the NACRJ conference, Restorative Justice Conference, in June in Oakland, and we're planning to do lobby days in October. If you're interested in being a part of that or helping organize that, again, you can contact me at nancy@peacealliance.org. We're looking at October 4th and 5th for lobbying, and then we'll be participating in the World Beyond War Conference and the Million Youth March at the same time, or at that same time period. We have the Department of Peacebuilding campaign has calls the third Monday of every month. You're welcome to join in those, and everybody is welcome to join in our second Monday calls, all California calls, and anybody, even if you're not from California, is welcome to join in those calls. So that's the quick kind of overview.
Thank you, Nancy. So much going on. I know it's hard to package in a small package, but I appreciate that. There's so much, obviously, that you're doing. So a million thanks for all that and for sharing it with us. And now over to Allison for a little more focus on action. Hang on just a moment. Oh, come on. What's my cursor doing? There you go. Allison,
hello?
I think you're live. Hi, there you are.
Oh, great. Also, one thing I forgot to mention is our social media guide to connecting with your congressman can be found on peacealliance.org. If you go to Tools and Education and then underneath that, Outreach Materials and Reports, you'll find it towards the bottom. And if you just click on it, it's a PDF that opens into your browser. You could print it. You can bookmark it. And it's a fluid document, so if we ever do update it, we'll let you know.
on a future call. But for now, I hope that you enjoy it and find it valuable. And now to our action. So if anyone has already pulled up their Facebook page or their Facebook account for that matter, if you visit the Peace Alliance Facebook page, which you can find on our website, we have a Facebook icon. You'll notice on the top of our Facebook page, we have a post about our peace building legislation, HR 1111. I encourage you to share that by clicking the share button or leaving a comment or liking it and letting others know about your support for the piece of legislation and your desire to sign in to sign the petition and tell Congress to support HR 111. Another action that you can take is visiting our website and pasting the URL into your Facebook post or a tweet or maybe an update on LinkedIn and share why, you know, the Peace Alliance is important to you and why peace building is important to you and encouraging others to get involved and join this great community. And thirdly, is nothing that, you know, no action that you can take at this moment, but if you've recently read an article or a story that moved you, whether it was, you know, this week or today or maybe later this week, I encourage you to share it with your network on your favorite social media channels, whether that's, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, or if you see a quote on Instagram that really moves you, to repost it and put some, you know, positivity out into the universe and peace building out into the universe. And social media is a great tool for that. So those are the three things that I have right now.
Awesome. Thank you, Allison. So those are things people can do right away. They can do them later on tonight, and you can keep that list handy just to refer to. As you said, make Tuesday your social media sharing day or Tuesday and Thursday. So thanks so much for all of that, Allison, for your help and support on this call and for being available in general to support our work in that way. I'm going to invite folks who have questions or who want to share what's going on in your part of the world to go ahead and press one on your keypad to let us know. It looks like Wendy and Ngozi and Allison and Nancy and Deborah are all still on the call. So all the folks that have spoken so far are still here. If anybody has a direct question for anybody who has already spoken, that's an option. Or if you just want to tell us what's happening in your neck of the woods, go ahead and press 1 and I'll call on you. And if I don't see anyone, then I'll assume that you feel like it's about time to call it a night and get on with the rest of your evening. I'll give you about another, there's some ones. People do have something to say. Go ahead, Lynn, what do you want to ask or tell us?
Yes, I was just wondering, I know that you've got this HR 111, and there's a huge opening right now for reframing our whole social structure, and it kind of goes along with different program, Where to Invade Next, Michael Moore's movie. There's kind of two parts of my question. And all the different government policies that he tried to show on his movie, how to get social media, the youth on this call, to really get that out there, because those government policies started here. And we need them reintegrated into our USA. So for peace building, they're critical. It's just really important. I wish it could be shown at every high school and every college and every political science group in the U.S. Okay, and the other thing is there's a group that's been opened up, and it's USDAC. I guess it's U.S. Department of Arts and Culture .org. And then there's along with, it should go along with Blue Ace is another. Finally, they're opening up to, you know, we're housing the homeless. We're getting that taken care of a bit. But the next arena is the new Health and Human Service Social Services with all the Body, Mind, Spirit Healing Centers. We really need to have people that are involved with inner peace, self-help, all these alternative movement art, singing, dance, movement therapies, to be put to work, all these body, mind, spirit healers. And the legislators don't even know about a lot of them. They've been going, body, mind, spirit expos have been happening for 49 years. And I know 2 years ago in New York, they had 300 booths. It's really critical because if those people were paid to be community services and openly gather and be paid to start these new addiction recovery and mental health care service centers, we could alleviate a lot of problems. And in the group that's kind of looking at it is called ACE. It's how to get to the root cause of adverse childhood experiences. So it's ACE. And then it's also, I guess, tied in with the government group SAMHSA, SAMHSA.org. So I'm just hoping that the Peace Alliance, you know, you have to have inner peace for world peace, but has to be a lot of times a lot more, you know, like instead of one nation under drugs and guns, yet and war, we have, you know, we have these actual body, mind, spirit healing programs that are, you know, I mean, there's 40 different kind of movement therapies out there. They're beautiful. Multicultural arts is therapies. You know, I mean, it's just crazy we're not teaching, training, you know, and paying people to go to work in these community services. And I know they're looking for projects and programs, so I was hoping that you guys could help with that too. So thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. Just one more hand, and then after that, I think I'll open the phone lines and you can sort of say goodnight to each other. Deborah, you got something else you'd like to say or ask?
Yeah, just real quick, thanks. Yeah, I'm a member of the Department of Peacebuilding Committee. However, I have never filled out that form this time, the one that's on the Peace Alliance Facebook page. It's that. It's the emails, petition with the letter that goes. And the reason I haven't is because it goes to the president as well as the member, as well as the senators. I don't want to. I have made a choice not to send anything about Department of Peacebuilding to the president at all at this point. That wasn't true with the last president. It is true with this president. The other is, since there's not a bill in the Senate, I would like to refrain asking. I don't want to ask my senators to introduce a bill. I'd rather wait until there's a bill in the Senate to contact my senators. I have contacted them about it before. But I would rather not do that this time and wait. And what I would like to have is, like, if there was a way that we can handle it so we cannot send it to members that we don't want to send it to at that time, so we don't want to send it to the president, we can just say, you know, not now. We don't want to send it to our senators yet. We can, you know, kind of pinpoint who we would like to send it to. So, and that way I could feel good about sending it out. But right now, I would rather have that before I posted it for anybody. I would rather have it where people could kind of pinpoint who they'd like to send it to at this time. I wonder if there's any way we can do that technically, give people a choice.
Allison, do you know anything about that particular petition or how that could be reorchestrated? I'm not familiar with that.
I'm not familiar with that. That was before my time with Peace Alliance, so I'm not sure how the logistics of that work.
Okay, maybe we'll get to some investigation of it. Okay, well, I want to thank everyone for arriving tonight and sharing time between meditation and inspiration and information. I think it's been a very full evening, And I thank you all again for being with us. I'm going to open up everybody's mic. This call, as all our calls, has been recorded, and you can listen to it again. It'll be posted on our website within a few days. And your mics are all now open if you want to say anything to each other before we go our separate ways for the night. Thank you all for being with us.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Good night.
Peace out.
Yes, massive prayers for divine intervention. Massive prayers. Thank you.
Good night.